And we are live on Facebook on Augusta Free Press. I'm Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. And Rod, we had to take the week off last week, the big move for AFP, but we're back now. And we have to talk. There's a lot to talk about, obviously, with having to catch up from last week. First, let's talk about Brett Keselowski, the big win in New Hampshire this past weekend, his third win of the season. And obviously, what a season for Brad and for his team. And as we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs, he's in good position right now.
Yeah, he's in very good position right now. You can't really say that much. I guess it's kind of up in the air right now concerning Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano. But at least for Brad Keselowski, he's been trying very hard here this season. And, you know, there was a lot of reasons behind that. He was in a contract a year where he was going to have to negotiate, and that's what he had to do. And you know, he's probably fielding offers from other people, other drivers, other organizations that's wanting to put him in the driver's seat this year. And what he ended up doing was he ended up signing an extension after this win with this win this past weekend. And so it was a big plus for him coming up with this win. And he said in his comments after the race, he says, you know, this team is really hitting on all cylinders right now. This team has been a really good team so far this season. And I think a lot of the other comments that were really coming out about this now, we thought that Denny Hamlin was going to run away with this the way things were going. You know, he's won five races so far on the season. But Brad Keselowski and the Fords have found a way now to kind of throw some things into this and throw some kinks into it. And proof of that was this past weekend at the race, too. The Toyotas did not have good luck, especially the Joe Gibbs Racing Toyotas. They didn't have good luck at all. Hint, Kyle Busch on that one.
So, Hamlin, you mentioned he was in second in this race. He's had a strong season as well. Talk about his run this past weekend, and then who else you felt like had good days?
Well, you know, like, of course, Hamlin did have a good day and everything. He raced there near the top. I just really can't say enough about him. That team is really hitting about the same way that Brad Keselowski's team is. They're hitting on all cylinders right now. Some of the others that raced really well this past weekend, of course, you can't rule out that rookie Tyler Reddick. He's running really well, and he continues to impress and improve people. William Byron, he's having to make some moves right now. He is just outside of that top 16. If the playoffs were to end somewhere in there, he's either at the cutoff point or just a little bit above, but he could go either way. The same thing goes for Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson didn't have a whole lot of, things go his way this past weekend, too. It was looking good there for a little while that, you know, Jimmy Johnson was running up there toward, I think, of the top five, top six. But, you know, he did have a good performance, but a lot of things just didn't go the way that the Hendrick cars would have liked for them to have gone on Sunday. And the same could be said for Chase Elliott, too. Chase Elliott really stuck around 10th place most of the afternoon in the course of that race. And so, you know, these guys are trying to make their mark. Elliott really doesn't have a lot to prove right now because he's got his playoff spot. He's secured in that. But for Jimmy Johnson, William Byron, some of the others in there, they're wanting that spot, and they're wanting to get that lock in on that playoff spot, especially coming up here. We're, what, five or six races away from the playoffs right now. So they're looking at trying to get this shored up and get it shored up quickly.
You know, you mentioned Brett Keselowski and Penske re-upping, and this was a contract year for him. Anyone else in that situation right now, of prominence or otherwise, not only thus running for a playoff spot, but maybe running for a future job?
Well, I guess the big one is the news that came out this past week. Of course, we only have like one more year for Bubba Wallace in the ride for Richard Petty Motorsports. And the surprise that came out of that this week was the fact that one of the chief operating officer of Richard Petty Motorsports, and he made the offer, or is at least made an offer in general to Bubba Wallace of part ownership in that team. That's a big move for him. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to say he's a very young driver. I know he's experienced. He's raced the circuits, but, you know, he's virtually young when it comes to being in the Cup Series. And then how does that fare for somebody to be able to run a partial ownership car, for example, with Richard Petty and him being the driver? We've only seen it with just a couple of people along the way. Michael Waltrip tried it, didn't have a lot of success. You know, about the only two that I can really point to that really had control of what they were doing to a certain degree was Tony Stewart, even though he was in partnership with Haas. But the big one was Alan Kulwicki, and Alan Kulwicki insisted on doing everything his way, and it had to be done that way. And people looked at him and said, "You'll never make it in this business." But Alan Kulwicki ended up winning a championship back in 92, if I'm not mistaken, right before he was killed in that plane crash near Blountville and around Bristol Motor Speedway. And so, you know, he insisted on doing everything himself. And I know that Wallace is going to want to insist on doing things himself to get there to the top, but you're also going to have to deal with a chief operating officer, a chief executive officer, and also deal with Richard Petty. And in the meantime, he's going to have to also decide whether he's going to jump from Richard Petty Motorsports to possibly Chip Ganassi Racing. That's been thrown out there. I know Chip Ganassi is looking for someone. I don't know if Matt Kenseth is exactly fitting into the plans. He was only signed for just a one-year deal, while Kyle Larson, with all this stuff going on with Kyle Larson that happened back during our 10-week hiatus from NASCAR. But, you know, it's there's a lot of question marks right there. Alex Bowman's going to be up for a ride. He's going to be looking for something here before it's over with. There's even talk that Hendrick may even reduce the number of cars in their stable from what they have right now. They may even reduce one car and just simply go with Elliott, and then whoever's going to replace Jimmy Johnson in the 48 car and the 24 car with William Byron. So there's a lot of question marks and a lot of things we don't have answers for just yet. Don't know if we're going to have answers until really the start of the season.
That's intriguing, especially the news about Wallace, the offer from Richard Petty Motorsports. I mean, they may not be able to offer the money that others, like Chip Ganassi and others, may be able to offer, but boy, it's got to be you know, enticing for Bubba to consider partial ownership, and that's a different level. That's a different ballgame. As you said, it can be a you know, an either or proposition, but man, that's a tempting offer, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a tempting offer any way you look at it, but you know, it's sort of like that little TED talk I guess you had the other day and stuff. You take some risks, you do these sort of things, and you go out there and you kind of go against the flow. And you know, Bubba has kind of gone against the flow in certain things on the way he has done things and the way he has raced. But, you know, is that going to translate to the traditional way that NASCAR has been, or is he the one that breaks that glass ceiling when it comes to tradition?
So we're talking there about a lot of off-the-track news involving comings and goings, potentially. Also, some kind of sad news this week with a longtime NASCAR staple racing team announcing that this will be its last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Levin Family Racing. I've called them Levine a couple of times, but Levin Family Racing, based out of Texas, they have decided to fold up shop. Matter of fact, they have sold their charter and sold, I think, the majority of their racing team assets of what they have. They have sold to, I believe, Spire Motorsports, I think is the name of the motorsports company. It's going to get that, and they're going to take over the charter points and everything. But we're kind of left wondering right now where that's going to put the driver of that car and where it's going to put him at coming up for next year. Because, you know, here he is, you know, he's looking for a ride. He's not going to have a ride this year or after this year in the 95 car. So Christopher Bell is looking for some place to go. Will he go to Joe Gibbs Racing and continue in the Toyotas? Or will he be open for something else? It's kind of in limbo. It almost reminds me of something like with Daniel Suarez back a couple of years ago when he first came into the sport, and he kind of knew that he was the odd man out, and where was he going to go? Well, he ended up going to Stuart Haas for a year or two, and then after that, he was left floating again until he shows up with a small team that's on the circuit right now that's, you know, barely able to make some waves, and he's been having a tough time this year, and I really don't think it's indicative of his driving style and his capabilities out on the track. I just don't think he's got a good car underneath it.
So now we have a weekend with two races, challenging all these teams to be able to, you know, the endurance test for both the drivers and their teams in Michigan Saturday and Sunday. So what can we look forward to this weekend with all that racing action?
Well, Michigan is one of those tracks. It's one of those long 2.5 mile tracks that one way or another, it's going to come down to gas mileage. Always it comes down to gas mileage. This past weekend, the New Hampshire race, you know, we were looking at that one and we thought, you know, it's going to come down to gas mileage the way this thing's running right down toward the very end, because they were at Green Flag Racing, and some of the cars didn't have enough to make it to the end, but I think a lot of them were kind of, how can I say it, lying behind the microphone and saying they had enough to make it, because nobody really dropped out of the race there towards the very end of it. But we did see the capabilities of some of these teams, and especially Penske. That's a great track for them, and especially for Brad Keselowski being there back in his own home stomping grounds of Michigan. That's where he loves to be at. But you really can't rule out some other drivers in that too. Kevin Harvick, he likes Michigan very well. And, you know, Kevin Harvick, it's about time for him to really pick up a little bit more as well, because, you know, we had a race or two where he won as we came back from the hiatus, and then he's kind of been quiet. Thought he was going to win a race here, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Thought he was hanging there pretty close to the front. Didn't happen. So there's going to be several drivers going to be looking for a big win this weekend. And, you know, I wouldn't rule out either Chase Elliott. I think Chase Elliott's had a good run so far. He's had some good runs at Michigan in the past. And so we'll see how they do this weekend.
So we're looking about, a month out from the playoffs starting. And boy, we have a couple of those races here in our neck of the woods, Richmond mm-hmm. and Bristol down your way. Yeah. And so, hey, it's getting closer and closer every day. We've been back for 2.5 months. Time has flown. You know, mm-hmm. that 2 months that we had to wait, as you said, we had to wait to get NASCAR yep. back. And man, this last 10 weeks just flown by to get us to the stage.
Well, it's flown by. And I think the other thing too, you know, as people start looking at the sports offerings that are coming back and so forth, the NBA's back and the NHL is back and Major League Baseball, I think there's a lot of people. Here's the big press that really came out of our area this past week, and that was we were 14 or so more days out from when we had the All-Star race down here at Bristol. And, you know, as of right now, there have been no reports of any COVID-19 cases due in part or, you know, especially there from the race or anybody that was there at the race, or at least it's not been reported. So that's a positive thing for NASCAR. It leaves some of the other ones wondering what in the world is NASCAR doing as opposed to a Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball, you've got, I don't know, how many players on the Marlins right now are have been declared infected with this COVID-19. So you've got them. You got a couple of people in the St. Louis Cardinals organization that's tested positive. You know, it's really running rampant, and you start kind of asking the question, is NASCAR doing a better job than some of these others? You know, the way that it's shown up, I don't know. In a lot of ways, I think it's been a testament to NASCAR really looking out for the driver's safety and also the crews and the fans as well, trying to keep from something like this multiplying.
I think I saw a number just to put a spin on that, a different spin on that, the number of Major League Baseball players who've tested positive since testing began is something like 0.2%. It just happens right. That 21 of them were on the Marlins. Yeah. And, of course, the media being the media is going to make things look as bad as they can. But NASCAR's done a great job. And to mm-hmm. me, what you said at the beginning of that, the fact that we're 14 days plus out from that race, and there were, what, 20,000-plus fans in mm-hmm. attendance for that All-Star race. It's one thing you can keep your drivers and those teams in a bubble kind of situation, mm-hmm. but those fans, I mean, you know, the fans, you can do all you want to do. You can tell them what they should do and that kind of thing, but they're going to be fans for a few hours. And the fact that we haven't seen a spike in cases as a result of that, that's to me the best news. I mean, that's the kind of thing mm-hmm. that we look at and say, okay, yeah, let's figure out what they did right, because I'm sure there were plenty of people, and there were plenty of people in the sports media and the media in general looking at that and saying, this is a accident waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. Having all those fans at a NASCAR race, you're just inviting trouble. And it's not been the case. So that's, yeah, whatever NASCAR did there, whatever the folks at Bristol did there needs to be studied and put in place elsewhere.
Well, and I think that Roger Penske is probably doing that this coming, this time around, especially toward the end of August when they move the Indianapolis 500 to, what, the 23rd or the 25th of August. They have now announced that they were going to have fans for that race. Roger Penske was hoping to have some fans brought in, and, you know, they were going to be able to see the race. But now with some of this stuff, the way it's going in some of these other areas, he's a little bit hesitant about doing that. So they're going to kind of play it safe, put it to that last weekend in the month of August, and, you know, give it a shot without any fans. But I know it won't be the same thing, but I'm sure Roger Penske's getting some advice from some of the NASCAR people off on the side, because he has such a close working relationship with NASCAR besides having a race team in the sport. I'm sure he's following some instructions from them, and he's getting a little bit of some guidance as to what to do about the upcoming Indianapolis 500.
So Saturday and Sunday in Michigan, and we'll be following Rod, and we'll follow with Rod those races, and we'll share on Augusta Free Press on Facebook Rod's insights. And then, of course, Rod, we'll have you back next week to talk more NASCAR. Thanks for your time, as always.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.